We'll get you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 John. We're going to be spending some time in chapter 2 in John's epistle. But two weeks ago, we looked at this and we began by looking at the concept of fellowship with God. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, one of the things that John brings out is that what we, that is the apostles, have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. There's a reason for that, he says, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, from that point, what he did was to begin sharing with us how it is that they had and we can have fellowship with the Father. And what he pointed out in those verses that we looked at last week is that we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. That we are not to deny that we have sin, but instead confess our sins. And also that we are, as you come into chapter 2, we are to take advantage of this advocate that we have with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is, as he says, the propitiation, that atoning sacrifice for our sins. But back in verse 3, he mentioned that they not only had fellowship with the Father, they had fellowship with the Son. In our text tonight, specifically in chapter 2, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 6, John describes how we can know that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. He says, "By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. And the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." Now, he makes the statement, "By this we know that we know Him." How can we be sure that we have fellowship with Jesus? First of all, there's two words that I want you to notice there. There is first that word Him. Who is the Him? Is it God? Is it Jesus? In light of what we find in verses 1 and 2, where he talks about we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is propitiation for our sins, and what we see down in verse 6, it fits that the one he is talking about here is none other than Jesus Christ. And the aim of his epistle, at least this part of it, is fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. He says, "I want you to know Him." The word know. I know some of you. I know most of you. But I don't know you maybe in the way that your spouse knows you, your son or your daughter knows you, those who are a part of your immediate family know you. There are things that they will know about you and that I will never know. And when Paul uses this word, he uses it in a sense that is deeper than just a body of knowledge about an individual. Well, I know your name. I know a little bit about you. It is something that has to do with a knowledge that comes from experience. It is a knowledge that comes from sharing life's experiences together. There is another word that closely connects with this. It is the word fellowship. And in that fellowship, there is a sharing. There is a communion in life together. There are some experiences that you have shared with your spouse that no one else will ever be privileged to. There are things that you have done. My wife and I can go back to some of our early days as husband and wife and share with you experiences that we have rejoiced in and enjoyed, times when we took vacations together or things that we have done that others, you may relish in the story, but as we sometimes say, you had to be there. Well, when he talks here about knowing Christ, there is a fellowship, there is a communion that he wants us to experience with our Lord and Savior. Now he says, how is it that we know him? And he tells us, it's if we keep his commandments. Now, this isn't the first time that we see something like this. As a matter of fact, John himself had heard Jesus say this to him and to the rest of the apostles back at the Last Supper that we read about in John chapter 14 and chapter 15 of John's Gospel. If you go back to John chapter 14, what you find there, beginning in verse 21, are these words. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Now this is Jesus speaking. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now, John tells us that Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus' response there is this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. So it is the keeping of his word that gives us this fellowship, this communion with our Lord. Later in chapter 15, where he's discussing the vine and the branches, down in verse 10, Jesus would say this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So there is this keeping of commandments, keeping his word. And the person who claims to know Jesus, to have fellowship with him, as John brings out in our text that we just read here in 1 John chapter 2, and does not keep his commandments, what John says about that person, if you look in verse 4, is that that person is a liar. He says, the truth is not in him. You say you know me, he would say, keep my commandments. To say that you know me, but to not do what I tell you to do, makes you a liar. Now, this is really no different than what John had said earlier in chapter 1. And that is that if we claim to have fellowship with God, the Father, while we are still walking in darkness, well, he says there that we lie and do not practice the truth. So, these come together. But the person who keeps the words of Jesus, what John says here is that the love of God is perfected in this person. Now, that phrase, love of God, can be one of three things. And in John's letter here, he gives us each of those three types of ways in which this love of God can be described. In 1 John chapter 3, specifically, if you look at verse 16 and verse 17, it is God's kind of love, we might say. Because there in that passage, what he says to us is this. He says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So this is one type of way of describing the love of God. It's God's kind of love. It is a love that does for others. It is a love that reaches out to others. In chapter 4, we see it described in yet another way. If you'll notice in verse 9, he says this, by this is the love of God, or the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live for him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here, the love of God is God's love for us. God has shown us his love, the love of God, in sending his Son on our behalf to save us. But there's yet a third way to describe the love of God, and John does it again in chapter 5. You'll notice 1 John chapter 5, there in verse 2, here's what he says. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. So here, yet again, is another way of defining the love of God. Here, it is a love that shows itself toward God. We love God. The love of God is our love for God. And I believe that as John uses it in our text tonight, that's what he's talking about. It is not God's love for us. It's not God's love manifested to the world, but it is our love for God. Our love of God. Because it fits so well in what he's been talking about. The keeping of the commandments demonstrates the love of God that we have. Now, he tells us something about this love. He says, if you'll notice back here, that this love of God is perfected in us. Verse 5, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. To be made whole, complete. The love of God in us is complete. How do we know it's complete? The love of God is complete in us when, as Jesus or John says, we are keeping His commandments. When we're keeping our Lord's commandments, then God's love in us, the love that we have for God, is made whole. Let me share with you some passages. Some we've already touched on, but back in John's Gospel, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and as we said, and will disclose myself to him. In chapter 14, verse 23, we find yet again, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So three times he describes that this love is seen in the way that we keep his commandments. Love is keeping God's commandments. To love God is to keep his commandments. Over and over again. So how do we know Jesus? How do we know that we have fellowship with Him? Well, what Jesus says, or what John says, is you know Jesus, you know that you have fellowship with Him if you're keeping His commandments. That's how you know Jesus. That's how you have communion with Him. That's how you have fellowship with Him. But he takes it yet a step further. Back here in 1 John, down in verse 5, he brings out something else. Latter part of verse 5, by this we know that we are in Him. And then he tells us what that "in" means, verse 6. The one who says he abides in Him. So to be in Christ is to abide in Christ. Well, how can we be sure that we're in Christ? How can we be sure that we are abiding in Christ? Abiding is described back in John's Gospel again, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus connects it, gives us the imagery of a vine and the branches that come off of the vine. And in the same sense that that vine provides life to those branches, and those branches are fruitful and provide produce because they are connected to the vine, they're tied into the vine, they receive their life from the vine, in that same way, we, as we are connected to Christ, as we are abiding in Him, we draw our life from Him. There is a union, there is an attachment to the vine. It is a communion, a sharing in the life that He came so that we might have abundant life. And so, here again, what John is discussing for us is this idea of fellowship with Jesus. To know Jesus, to have fellowship with Him, is to abide in Him, to keep His commandments. And we can be sure that we're abiding in Him. We can be sure that we are in Him if, as you notice what he says in verse 6, if we walked just as He walked. Here's the way he puts it. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. That person, each of us, if we claim that we have fellowship with Jesus, if we have communion with Jesus, if we know Jesus, then John is saying, then you ought to walk as he walked. You ought to live life as he lived life. And only those who follow his words, Jesus himself said, are truly his disciples. John, back in his gospel, chapter 8, we know verse 32, you shall know the truth shall set you free. But if you back up one verse, verse 31, he brings out something else. If you continue in my word, he says, then you are truly disciples of mine. Do you see a theme that's running through all of this? Fellowship with Jesus, knowing Jesus has to do with keeping his commandments, which aren't burdensome or grievous. Abiding in Jesus, being in him, means that we're walking as he walked. Well, if we're walking as he walked, he would say that we're continuing in his word, because it makes us disciples of his. And those disciples are individuals whose desire is to become like their teacher. In Luke chapter 6, Luke records for us in verse 40 something that Jesus said, in which he said that a pupil is not above his teacher, but he says, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. There is something that we don't hear so much about in this country anymore, but when trades were much bigger than they seem to be today, there was a term that we heard more often. It was the term apprenticeship. Apprenticeship is where you followed behind somebody in their footsteps. You watched them. You worked with them. You learned their trade or their skill as you observed how they handled it. And they trained you and they taught you. And you stayed with them until you had been trained enough to be like them so that you could go out on your own and do the same thing. Well, being a disciple of Jesus means that we follow him. We walk in his footsteps. We listen to his words. We obey his teachings so that we become, and that's the goal of Christianity, is to be conformed to the image of his dear son. That's what Paul brings out in Romans chapter 8. There in verse 29, he says, for those whom he foreknew, he has predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. God's goal for you and me and every child of his who has obeyed the gospel is that we should become more like his son, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And becoming like Jesus Christ only happens as we follow his commandments, listen to his teaching, obey his word, walk as he walked. You see, understanding and applying this truth has some powerful ramifications in our lives. You don't see it anymore as much as we used to, but some years ago, there were these little bracelets that a lot of our young people would put on, and we would even find other things, and it would have on it WWJD. What would Jesus do? I heard so many youth rallies that were around that theme. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond here? What would Jesus say in this situation? How would Jesus act in this situation? And truthfully, all of that comes from a book that was written back in 1896 by an individual named George Selden. And the title of the book is In His Steps. And he took a situation in which he took a group of people and they decided, we're going to live life each day by asking ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? Interesting way to approach life, isn't it? But isn't that what John is really saying here? What would Jesus do? If Jesus were running the business that you run, how would he run his business? If Jesus were the person that you are at work, how would he handle his job? You know, if he were an engineer, what kind of engineer would he be? If he were a doctor, what kind of doctor would he be? If he were a nurse, what kind of nurse would he be? If he were a student in high school, what kind of student would he be? What would Jesus do in each one of those situations? But what we learn from John here tonight is that the key to knowing that we have fellowship with Jesus is understanding the difference between two things: talking and walking. Anyone can say that they know Jesus, but the question is, and that they abide in him. But the real question is, are they keeping his commandments? Are they walking as he walked? There's a lot of people in the world that say they know Jesus, but are they doing what Jesus said do? And are they living as Jesus lived? That's the key. That's the question. And tonight, the question for each of us is, do you know Jesus? Do you have fellowship with him? Do you have eternal life and fullness of joy? And have you kept his commands? What about the commandments, the commands about faith, to believe in him? Repentance, baptism. You know, one of the things that he taught was that his disciples were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So one of the questions is, do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he tells us that we are to believe. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. So we are to believe. Do we obey that commandment? Do we believe him? Are we individuals who've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? Have we repented of sin? Peter says, when they asked him what they should do, repent and be baptized. When Paul was obeying the gospel, what he was told by Ananias is, arise or get up, be baptized, wash away your sins. These are commands. Do we keep what he's told us to do? And not only that, what about his commands to observe all that he commanded? The things that are revealed to us through his disciples, through his apostles. The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread in prayers. Are we doing the same? And as a matter of fact, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says there in verse 37 that if anyone thinks himself a prophet or a spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. So, what about you? Do you know my Jesus? There's a song that we sing sometimes that has that very idea behind it. Do you know my Jesus? Are you willing to come to him today and let him abide with you until the end? If you don't know him, if you don't have fellowship with him, if you've not given your life in obedient faith to him, then the plea tonight is, come right now as together we stand and sing.